Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Let us pray. Luke 1:35, I'm sorry. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak unto our hearts, that I would be a vessel in which you will speak unto us, not only upon this congregation, but also to speak to me, Lord, that we might all grow nearer to you, that we might be conformed to the image of your beloved Son. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us, that your Holy Spirit will overshadow us and empower us, that we may walk according to your word, that we may pray according to your will, and that Jesus Christ is exalted and the cross be the center of our lives. That Jesus Christ be everything, and that we may be nothing. That he may increase, that we may decrease. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. If you keep your Bibles open, continue to keep your Bibles open. We'll look at chapter 1 as we read it last night. And I apologize, we had technical difficulties in the last service. If you were not at the 10 o'clock service, you missed an excellent message by Pastor Dennis Lake. A very encouraging message, and what I enjoy about the conference like we had last year in Hooper Bay, how the Holy Spirit put the messages together just for us, to encourage us, and a very biblical look at that which he was teaching us last year, and I think he's doing the same thing this year. And I want to begin, so we have a background again, just in case you weren't here last night. We'll begin in verse 26 of chapter 1. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Verse 29, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 32, He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." That last verse that we read in verse 38, Mary said, And behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. If you recall last night, I mentioned that in Luke chapter 1, at the beginning of the chapter, the angel Gabriel came unto Zechariah. And Zechariah in verse 18 says, after he receives the announcement that his wife, his barren wife, was going to have a child. And Zechariah says, the angel Gabriel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. sad that Zechariah has to look at his wife that way, that she's old and well stricken in years. The longer I've been with my wife, the longer I realize what a blessing I have from God through her. I couldn't imagine calling my wife old and well stricken in years. She becomes more lovely, as Jesus should become more lovely in our lives as we grow nearer to Him. He's altogether lovely, though He walked on this earth without form nor comeliness that any one should desire Him. Jesus was plain looking. Those pictures that some folks have hanging on their walls, I don't know if that's Jesus, but He looks too good looking, because the Scriptures say He was plain. Why was He plain? So that someone couldn't say, well, you know, I'm not good looking enough to serve God. I'm not charismatic enough. Jesus came in the form of human flesh, and He came humble in His first coming. In His second coming, He's going to come in majesty and splendor, bringing back all the glory that He laid aside as God when He came as human flesh, and He's going to come again. But what do I want to talk about tonight, this afternoon, is faith. We see that Mary, whose Hebrew name Miriam, it means bitterness or sorrow. Here is this girl. Why is she named Sorrow? Because the Son of God, who is the Man of Sorrows from Isaiah 53, comes through this woman of sorrow. Her sorrows as a mother would be multiplied, because 33 years and 9 months after this announcement, she is going to see her firstborn son hanging upon a cross and wonder what is going on, that a sword pierces her heart in more ways than she can imagine, because she also understands that this is no mere child of hers. This is the child of God. How are these scriptures being played out? The Jews understood that the Messiah would come and He would bring forth the kingdom. We read here in verse 32, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. The kingdom of David had come to the end at the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC, when Jerusalem was utterly destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in the third siege. The throne of David did not exist 586 years later. Yet Gabriel says that he will reign upon the throne of David. The throne of David does still not exist in Israel today. So it's coming. It is coming. The Jews had an understanding that when the Messiah would come, even after Jesus went to the cross. Remember that in Acts chapter 1. The disciples said to Jesus, the resurrected Lord, the crucified Lord, He's risen and walking with them for 40 days before He ascends on the Mount of Olives. They said, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom? Remember what Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. They had an understanding that the Messiah was going to rule and reign in His kingdom. And in the book of Revelation, we understand how long that is. Revelation chapter 20 says it's 1,000 years. 1,000 years Jesus will reign in Jerusalem upon all the kingdoms of the earth. And Israel will be His kings and priests. They didn't understand the concept of the church, which you and I are, which consists of Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews. A wonderful work of God, bringing all people together in the Messiah through the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. They didn't have an idea of that, what God was doing to bring that all nations to walk in faith in the truth of God's Word until He come again and set up that kingdom. A marvelous work. The Jews didn't have that quite down. Then when the Holy Spirit came and empowered them, it was given unto the Jews to preach the gospel, because what would be birthed out of that? Here's the conception. Mary has conceived in her womb. Then after Jesus ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit again overshadows this group of Jews. And guess what? The church is conceived within these 120 Jews. And they preach the gospel that day. And it grows into 3,000 Jews added that day in Peter's preaching. And then it continues on until a period of time. And what's born in Acts chapter 9? It's amazing that it's Acts chapter 9. How long is a birth? 9 months. And in Acts chapter 9, maybe it's Acts chapter 11. I'll have to look. But in Acts, they're called Christians first in Antioch. It was several years, but they were called Christians. Why? Because the church now was conceived by the Holy Spirit amongst these Jews to preach to the nations, to bring forth the church in birth. And how did that birth come around? The Jews were being persecuted, tribulation. And you ladies know what I'm talking about. My daughter is on the phone with my wife saying, "Mom, it hurts." Why? She's in labor. Tribulation. Birth pangs. The church was born out of tribulation. Why? Because the Jews were being persecuted in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and so now they get spread out because of the persecution. And they start preaching to the non-Jews. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because that's where we are at this point in 2,000 years from now. What is this faith I'm talking about? The faith is... Faith is not... Well, first let's say what faith is not. Faith is not hoping for something real hard that it comes to pass. That if I just hope enough, if I just pray enough, if I just do X, Y, Z, then ABC will happen. Or if I do ABC, X, Y, Z will happen. If I just think hard enough and do good enough or read enough scripture, then maybe this will happen. Faith is not that. Faith is not something as cruel as that. Do you think that God would give us the Word, the living Word, and then tell us to try to work out faith? Faith is based on the truth. In Hebrew, for me, it's easy, because the word for truth is amet in Hebrew. The word for truth is amet. And similar to that, just change of one letter, the Hebrew word for faith, or that which is faithful, faithfully, is a word that you say all the time. Amen. Amen is a Hebrew word. You all speak Hebrew, you know that, right? Hallelujah is a Hebrew word. Praises unto Yah, the name of God. Amen is a Hebrew word. It means faithfully, truly, or I believe. Amun means I believe. When we pray, I say, I believe. Amun. It means I have faith in what God has said. That's what faith is. Faith is not wishing so hard that you hope that it comes to pass. Believing it to manipulate God to make it come to pass. That's not what faith is. Faith is based on the truth. And the truth is contained between two Jewish words. Bereshit, which means in the beginning, and Amen, which means faithfully, and that is all contained in here. Bereshit, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. And Amen, it says, "Behold, I come quickly, even so come. Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Between in the beginning and Amen, between the Alpha and the Omega, that is what faith is about. Jesus Christ, the Son, embodied everything that's in here. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures and think in them you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me." The Father in heaven revealed Himself in every jot and tittle of this, and manifested also it through His Son, God in human flesh, and revealed it and illuminated it unto us by God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, three and one. And here, in is faith. Believing what God has revealed about Himself. This entire word is about God, and He has revealed Himself unto you, me, us. And when we don't walk in faith, we're saying either God is stupid or He's evil. I'm going to say that again. When we don't walk in faith, we are saying that God is stupid or He is evil. Therefore, that is a sin when we don't walk in faith. Why? The book of Romans chapter 14 says in verse 23, it says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Because God revealed Himself in Scripture. And based on Scripture, if this is what God says, if this is what God says about Himself to be true, then I need to believe it. Whether I understand it or not, I need to believe this truth. If I don't believe it, what I'm saying is that God, what I'm saying in my heart, what people, unbelievers, would say in their heart is that God, you don't know what is true. That you are too stupid to tell me what to do. Remember last night, the little girl I talked about on the shed? For her own good, I shouted out, "Little girl, get off my shed." I didn't want her to fall through the holes that were in my shed. The weak roof that was in my shed. But she said, "You're not the boss of me." "Well, I'm the boss of that roof. Get down." We defy God because we defy authority in our flesh when we don't walk in the Spirit. We don't want God telling us what to do. So we say, "God, you're too stupid, you're too dumb, you're too ignorant, because you tell us this and you obviously don't know what you're talking about." The other way we don't walk in faith is we say that God is evil. How do we do that? Well, we read His Word and we say, "God, you know what the truth is because you're God, but you didn't tell me the truth. So therefore, we're telling God that He's evil because He isn't telling us what is the truth." The reality is that He's told us what the truth, and we won't abide by His authority. We refuse to acknowledge that God is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That He created the sun and the moon and the stars, and He told the stars and the sun and the moon, He placed them in the heavens and said to the planets, "You move in this orbit until I say otherwise." He is the God that created the valleys and the river and the mountains. He pushes the mountains low. He raises up the valleys and He stops the seas with a thought. And yet, in His Son, He says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Come." And we say no. Because in our flesh, in and of ourselves, that is nothing but evil and wickedness. In Isaiah chapter 14, it describes the fall of Satan, and it was pride. He says, "I will be as the Most High. I will make my throne in the mountains, in the side of the north. I will be like the Most High." He made Himself as God. And that's what we do when we set ourselves as judges above His Word. Faith is not obedience. Obedience is the result of faith. Notice that Mary, in Luke chapter 1, what did she say? Be it, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it as you said. She hears the word of God from Angel, the messenger of God, from Gabriel, who brings her these glad tidings of wonderful things that the Lord Jesus Christ will be born in her, conceived by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And says, she says to him, she responds, behold, in verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's faith. As opposed to Zechariah, he doubted. And the angel Gabriel said to him, and behold, thou shalt be dumb. You won't be able to speak. And not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He receives a word from God through the messenger. As he is turned like this at the altar, and at the right-hand side, as he's burning incense at the altar in the temple, on the right-hand side, Angel Gabriel, and he's startled. He tells him, Elizabeth will give birth. He will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he will proclaim that the Lord is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. And yet he didn't believe this incredible manifestation of God's word through an angel proclaiming God's word, the good tidings. And he didn't believe. He believed not. That was not faith. We Christians, we have that trouble, don't we? That we are believers, yet we have trouble stepping out and walking by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Some preachers would like to say that believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. That we who are Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight, because believing is seeing. We will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do I see God now? No, I see images and pictures and types of God. When we gather together as believers and Jesus Christ is dwelling in you and with you and upon you through His Holy Spirit, I rejoice because I'm reminded of God. That's why Satan hates you. You remember that last night I told you that if unbelievers hate Christians. Why? Because Christians remind them of God. Satan hates you because you remind him of God, and every time he has a thought of God come to him, it reminds him that he is not the Most High. It reminds him that he is not sitting on the throne. And when he looks at you as Christian and sees the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your lives, he hates you. The enemy hates you. But God lets the enemy hate you because that works in us faith. Because despite all these things that are going on around your village and my village, in Hoover Bay, Scammon Bay, Mountain Village, you know that the enemy is at work. We have babies having babies. 14 and 15 year old girls that are having children out of wedlock. Now my Bible calls that fornication. And that's an abomination unto God. Ladies, young ladies, keep yourself pure. Do not show yourself, your bodies, or dress yourselves in a way to make yourselves seductive to young men. Do not even hold their hands. Virginity means to be untouched. Hold, save your even your hand for the man whose hand you will hold on that day, on your wedding day. Young men, respect the daughters of your mothers and your aunties and your grandmas. Young men, respect the young ladies. Honor them. treat them with respect and honor as sisters. Dress appropriately. Speak as the oracles of God. Speak with decency. Memorize Scripture. You'll be surprised that it was my speaking for Scripture that actually landed me my wife. She was attracted to my not swearing like other Navy divers, my not cussing. Because that's when Mike came to the Lord. Many of you know, everyone in Scammon Bay knows my testimony, that I was a deep sea diver in the Navy for 15 years. But 5 years into my Navy, the Lord saved me while I was in the Navy. And I used to, every other word out of my mouth was a dirty word. It was a foul language. And the miracle of God, when the power of the highest overshadowed me and regenerated my life and I became a new creature in Christ, He took away my foul language. And, you know, I spoke it so much that I didn't notice that I spoke like that. And then when I was saved, someone came up to me and says, "Something's different about you." I said, "It's because of Jesus." He said, "No, that's not it." No, it is. It's because of Jesus. I think it was either later that day or the next day he came and said, "I got it. You don't cuss anymore." I said, "It's because of Jesus. He saved me. I'm a Christian. I have a new life." He goes, "Yeah, yeah." But it was true. He could see visible fruit in my life that I had changed. Not everything changed, because I still smoke those big cigars, those hand-rolled Filipino cigars. God had to take that away from me later on. So if you're here and you chew, pray to God, He'll get rid of it for you. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Young people, you chew, you smoke, that's not going to keep you from heaven. But I'm going to tell you that the Word of God says, and now you've heard it, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says so in Corinthians. It says so in other places too. I believe it says in Romans. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, give up that nasty habit. Because you're destroying the body that God has given you, that He's graced you with. Give it up. And imagine this. When I used to smoke those cigars as a Christian, I'm wondering, you know, I'm outside and I'm not reading the Word. I'm not in prayer because I'm having a cigar. Then I tried to quit smoking cigars by picking up cigarettes. So that was even worse. So I went back to cigars. And I used to work with explosives, so I used to chew myself. I didn't chew myself, I chewed tobacco. Take that image out of your mind. I used to chew tobacco since I couldn't smoke a cigar. I, you know, took plug tobacco and used to spit all around things. Okay, where are we going to blow that thing up? Right there. Nasty habit. Yeah. Oh, I'd have divers. I'm a diving supervisor. I have the stopwatches. Divers are in the water. And the diver comes up and they go, "There they are." Like this. It's all over. Okay, well, rinse off. Come on up. Nasty habit. But when I'm doing those things, can you imagine how much time is taken away from the Word of God? When you do those things, just those little things, and how much money is spent. How, you know, we wonder, "Oh, I don't have a tithe today," or "I don't have an offering for the Lord." But a pack of cigarettes costs, what, $5 now? $6? Incredible. Incredible. So how much money we can save and invest in the kingdom by asking the Lord God, whose power of the Holy Spirit is not so short that it cannot save. His power overshadowing us can remove those things from us. If you have sinned, what sin is there that Jesus cannot cleanse? I speak of my daughter, who is having my first grandbaby, and you know she's not married. And this message is being recorded, so it'll be on the internet. I'm not proud of that. But she's made her own choices. And I pray for her. And I pray that she remembers the things that she grew up with, the Bible. And that she grows in... If you have children, and they don't seem to be walking with the Lord, uppas, annas, moms, dads, be encouraged. Pray for them and give them over to God. Do not be anxious for that. That's walking in faith is not being anxious for that. It's standing upon the Word of God and believing what God says, and therefore obedience now comes. The enemy will try to tell you, try to tell me, try to tell us that you're worthless, that you're weak, that you can't handle the truth. That was in a movie, wasn't it? You can't. The enemy will tell you you can't handle the truth. But you can. The truth is right here, because it is not by your power. When you have been supernaturally changed, transformed, as Pastor Dennis taught us earlier today at the 10 o'clock service, told us that unless a grain of wheat fall, unless it die, it abides alone. It just sits on the ground. But if it's buried, because the life in Christ is a death resurrection reality, we don't just lift up in faith and say, well, I step out of the line going to hell and now I'm stepping into the line going into heaven. We must die to self, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And even our faith to obey is by a moment by moment reality of the truth of God, living this life of faith in the Holy Spirit. Thankfully, Mary, by being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, she could say the difference between Zechariah, a man in the flesh, a priest of God, from the line of Aaron, selected by lot of the eighth order of the priesthood, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, of the lineage of Abiah, or Abijah in your English Bible, but Abiah in Hebrew. And this man was a priest of God, and he did not believe because the power of the highest did not overshadow him. We read that in Scripture. That's the difference. When this young girl in Nazareth, no different than any one of you or me, no different from anyone. And don't let this doctrine that has crept into certain denominations that venerate Mary as your Savior, that is a lie. It does not say so in Scripture. But unfortunately, in our denomination even, we have lost respect for what God has done in this person. She was submissive unto God so that the power of the highest overshadowed her, and that she could walk in faith to say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Or in the men's case, the servant of the Lord. This is walking in faith. We have in the Covenant Church, the Protestant churches, and Baptist, Methodist, Assembly of God, we've gone to the other extreme. We removed the reality of what Mary had done. And I do want to share this with you. I want you to understand that because she's no different from you and me, this is a great joy that God has given to us, to know that He can do the same thing in you and I. He didn't select her because she was perfect. He selected her because she was average, just like you and I. So that when the power of the highest overshadows us, we can walk in faith just as Mary did, to say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me as you said. Behold the servant of the Lord, men. Behold the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me as you said. Not much is written about Mary in Scripture. And I think for a purpose, because John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. One of the greatest miracles that ever ever happened was a young girl in Nazareth received this blessedness of having the Christ, the Messiah, be born in her physically to give birth to the Son of God. That's an amazing thing. But the creation miracle that God placed in her life was no different than the creation when He said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and went through the 6 days of creation. And as we looked at last night, the born-again experience, that the Son of God born in you, born in me, that miracle is no less great than the creation itself. That is the sovereign work of God by the power of the highest overshadowing us, that we become new creatures, as Dennis preached earlier today. But walking by faith, that's another thing. It's not easy to walk by faith because we walk by faith and not by sight. I just mentioned the scripture that it says, "Without faith, anything that is not of faith is sin." But also, without faith, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." That we need to walk in faith to please Him. If the reality of what Christ has done in our lives to hate sin, because it grieves God. To hate sin because now we love God. We understand the love that God has given us. That we walk in faith. And it's not, Dennis said, it's simple, because it's right here. But it's not easy. Because it's like saying, walking with my eyes closed around here, and there's a ledge somewhere. But Jesus says, step out. And when I step out, there's something there. Jesus says to do that. God says to do that, to love somebody, to love your enemies. Love your enemies. God says to do that. You can't do that you can't do that on your own, beloved. I can't do that on my own. I need the supernatural power of the highest overshadowing me, the Holy Spirit, to move me to trust God's word, that what God said is true about Himself. To consider that He is authority. We don't want to be, Dennis said, we don't want to be told what to do. And faith is absolute trust, absolute abandon, and unconditional surrender unto God because we believe what He said about Himself to be true. Therefore, I act, I respond appropriately according to that faith. I now am obedient because my act of response to God's word is saying, "Lord, you know better for my life than I do, so I'm going to do what's according to your word." And now I've become a bond slave to Christ. That's what faith is. You become a bond slave. And people think that slavery is a horrible thing. Well, slavery, if you're a slave to sin, if you have an addiction, like alcohol or drugs or tobacco, food, television, Game Boy, wheelies. Well, now I'm starting. Oh, Heelys, not wheelies. Heelys. I always call it wheelies. Heelys. Kids rolling around like, what is that, Gumby cartoon or something like that. Whatever that thing is, you know, we don't want to accept the authority of God, and there is freedom in that. Being held captive by sin, the freedom is that as a bondslave, I wake up in the morning, and God tells me what to do. How? Well, I don't just pop open the scriptures and go, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to do this today." And when they had finished, if they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, I don't do that. I say, "God, this is your day." I pray with His open word, and the word speaks unto me, and I say, "Lord, this is your day." And as a bond slave, whatever happens, happens. This is how it'll work for you. my day is a little different because they say, hey, well, Pastor John, this is what you do. You read the Bible, you pray for people, what other thing do you have to do? When you get up in the morning, and remember, if you haven't been reading a couple chapters a day for a couple hours, don't feel badly. Start off small, few verses and a few minutes with the Lord. And you say, Lord, I want to do your word, and whatever is revealed in here I want to do. And then you surrender your day to Him. And whatever happens in that day, you go to work. And something comes up. Then you handle that thing, you give it to the Lord as that thing comes up. And when it's finished, then you continue on. I get things that are pushed aside. They say, Brother John, how do you make time for your family? I hear that you have a morning devotion every morning with your wife and your daughter. You read the scriptures and pray together. And then on Friday night, you listen to a sermon. Usually not mine. They're tired of hearing me. They listen to somebody. We download from the computer and listen to a sermon together. We read the Bible or read other books nearly every night. How do you find the time? I don't find the time. I make the time. They're important to God. So I take those things and push all those things aside when Friday night comes. Friday night, it's their time. It's for them because they're precious to God. I might have things that I have to do. Emergencies might come up. But I was called to Scanna Bay Covenant Church. So every 11 o'clock on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Sunday and 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, it's given over to this congregation, no matter what I have that's pressing over there. Short of death, someone dies, I may have to take care of it, but I'm given over to this congregation. And if they die outside of the village, then we'll pray for them as a congregation. But I set that side the time aside. I handle what comes up. I get sick. You might have noticed last night that my left side started doing that thing that I got medevaced for. And when that happens, I stop and take a rest. Sometimes I pray for 5 minutes. Other times I have to take a nap for 3 hours. Because my speech starts slurring. I can't see. I can't remember things. And I praise God for that. That's how we walk in faith, because it doesn't matter the situations. You all have these problems that come up, as Dennis was talking about today. If you've died to self and you're a new creature, it doesn't matter what comes up. Then you start looking at the devices of Satan as they come in, and we don't get anxious. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because we walk by faith. If we have the reality of what Scripture says, that God is King, He is, and Jesus Christ is Lord of all, I trust that. And so any of these things that come in, where Satan's trying to stir this up, and I touched on this last night, Satan's trying to stir this up, that we're bothered or our conference isn't, you know, successful. How could our conference not be successful, actually, really? Because, in fact, we don't live by success. What is Jesus going to say in that day? He's going to say, well done, thou good and successful servant. You know, how does the world measure success by, like, oh man, you got to bring in a lot of offerings. You got to have all these seats filled. You got to have all kinds of programs. That's what the world would say is a successful church. But Jesus doesn't say that He's going to build a successful church or even successful people. In that day, He's going to look down and say, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Faith. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your master. Oh, what joy. What joy it is to walk in that walk of faith. Not well done, thou good and successful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So when the enemy tries to stir things up and says, he brings in, oh, you hear that, the weather is going to keep people out. No. God doesn't allow for Satan to do anything that he doesn't want to be done. Because he's building in us faith to trust in him no matter what happens. No matter who comes and when they come. And I pray that they do come. or there are turmoils that are coming up and brewing up on the horizon, we'll let them come. We'll pray and see how God builds up faith in us to trust Him and be obedient to His Word. No problem. Satan is no problem for the person who walks in faith. Because we also know what's going to happen in that day. When Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," unto us, we're also going to see when at the end of that 1,000-year reign that we read that Jesus is going to sit on the throne of His father David for 1,000 years, then Satan will be let loose. And Jesus won't even take Satan. He's going to have an angel do it because Jesus is God. He's going to send an angel, and the angel's going to take Satan, and he's going to throw him in a lake of fire. An angel is going to, at the beginning of the 1,000 years, and Satan is going to be taken by an angel and put into the bottomless pit and be bound for 1,000 years. Jesus doesn't even do it. He sends an angel to do it. And Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 tell us that when we look at Satan, we'll go, "This is the man that has caused all the nations to tremble? This is the one that caused kings to fear?" Nothing. And I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. Remember that Jude, verse 8, one chapter book, it says, "Do not bring railing Michael the archangel brought not railing accusation against Satan, but simply said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" Speaking of saying something evil or bad against authorities. Satan isn't an authority. God allowed him to be there to cause trouble. Why? Because it's building up faith in us. He just lets it go on because the more that these things come up in our lives, the more that we can trust in God. "Oh Lord, it's no problem, isn't it? Is it? Because You're in control." It's a wonderful way to life. It takes a lot of burden off your shoulder to be dead unto self and alive unto Christ. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this time that we have together. We pray that we might walk in faith. We pray, Father, that we may count those blessings as every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, where with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We love You, Lord, and thank You so much that we have a message of faith contained, bound up in this amazing 66 books that we call the Bible. All telling us about You and all telling us what to do. How easy can it be? How simple, yet how difficult, because we still carry around this body of flesh. Father, we pray that we might feed the Spirit and starve the flesh, that we might walk according to Your Spirit and be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. We love You, Lord, and thank You. In Jesus' holy name, amen.